Howard, it's clear that there are people in the world that want us dead.
Yes.
They want us dead. We're non-believers. We need to die.
Right.
Now, my question is this. What we don't get in U.S. in the U.S. media, in my opinion, is an honest assessment of how widespread that that feeling is in parts of the Islamic world. In other words, how truly widespread is it? In the American press, you just sort of get a sense, because it's a sense the president wants us to have, that it's just a small segment.
Yep, and that's the sense that the American press wants to believe in itself and wants you to believe in, too. One of my Islamic friends was over here. I mean, we're talking from a bedroom. We've been talking from a bedroom together for the last God knows how many years. Because, you know, I was stuck in a bed with an illness for 14 years.
Right.
And one of my Islamic friends was over here, and I said, look, if only 10% of the Muslim population of the world is militant or pro-militant, that's 120 million people, which is more than the population of France, Germany, and England combined in the Second World War.
Is it that high?
He said, you're wrong about that 10%. And I thought he was going to tell me it's 5% or it's 2%. Do you know what he said? He said it's 70% at least. This is an Islamic friend in the Islamic community.
Okay, well, that's a opinion.
That's one opinion from one friend in the Islamic community. I have another friend in the Islamic community who is an atheist and doesn't dare tell his family. You could die for being an atheist in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And his impression is the same. Almost everybody he meets, including, because he's from America, he's only spending a year in Pakistan with his family. And even here in the American community, that's his impression. The first friend that I was talking about said, you should have seen it in my community, meaning his Arab community, Islamic community, Islamic American community of upper middle class professionals.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen it in my community the day after 9/11, he said. People were rejoicing.
Yeah, I've heard these stories.
And this is from an Islamic friend. Now, I look for Islamic moderates because, again, as a Zionist, these Arabs in particular are the closest genetic cousins I've got on the face of the planet. And I think they've got tremendous amounts of ingenuity.
All right. Here's another question for you, Howard. We have been conducting a war on terrorism now for some time, very actively, of course, since 9/11.
Right.
What would your assessment be of how much damage we've done to these jerks?
I think we've done a substantial amount of damage. I think the fact that the United States hasn't been touched since 9/11
is proof,
a miracle.
Is proof of that?
I think that whoever has pulled that off, and of course we don't know who pulled it off, but whoever has pulled that off is doing a brilliant job of something.
I kind of have the same assessment, that we really have severely damaged them.
Because these are very bright people. They use tremendous amounts of creativity in their violence. They have no compunctions about wiping out populations, and they've been limited to a bus attack and subway attack in London, to a horrible, horrible train attack in Spain, but no attacks on the greatest Satan of them all.
Yes.
You know how many attacks they've had on Russia since 9/11? It's been attack after attack after attack after attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they are known for greater toughness, military toughness.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
So I think that we've had a major impact. But remember, this is the longest lasting world war in the history of this globe. It's a war that's been going on for 1,400 years. We're the kind of supremacy that the West has, it's only had for at most 200 years. I mean, the last let me do it from a different point of view. I'm just finishing the 10th anniversary edition of The Lucifer Principle. The Lucifer Principle is credited as the book that predicted 9/11. I felt I owed my audience a history of Islam. It has taken years to get this together, decades to get this together, because it's such a fragmented history. But what you come up with when you finish putting the pieces together is that within 100 years of Muhammad's death, the Islamic Empire was 5 times the size of the Roman Empire and 7 times the size of the United States. And it has been fighting Dar el-Harb, the abode or the land of the unbeliever, which also literally means the abode or the land of war, ever since Muhammad's death in 632 A.D. That's a long, long, long world war.
Sure.
So we have damaged the warriors for the moment. But Islam knows something we don't. It has a wisdom we don't have. It is willing to participate in multi-generational projects, projects that could take 700 years to come to completion. We are obsessed with quarterly profits and exit strategies.
Yeah.
When I hear the words exit strategy for Iraq, I get furious because the people behind it don't understand the nature of this world, and they don't understand the nature of our opponents. They don't even understand the nature of our own civilization, which has pulled off brilliant multi-generational projects that have made us, you and me, so rich in powers. Everything from Alexander Graham Bell's the telephone,
mm-hmm.
which was based on 300 years of research into electronics, that has now evolved into the cell phones that have changed our lives. Again, that electrical revolution that started with... that started with research into electricity in approximately 1650. That's a long time ago. Now sits in a laptop computer on my lap. That's a multi-generational project.
Yes.
We do brilliant multi-generational projects. It's time for us to wake up and realize that we do them. And it's time for people who run companies like Enron to realize that they are running a company, which if it's not in the multi-generational game, they don't belong at the head of that company. If it's not a company they want to see as the company of the next 50 years, and the next 50 years of American history, and the next 50 years of Western history, and the next 50 years of the history of mankind, they don't belong in a CEO position.
All right. I would imagine there's a gigantic effort to lay hands on a bomb. It's just got to be monstrous. Now,
oh, yes.
Knowing what you know about what may be loose in the old Soviet Union, what technology may be for sale, and or what bombs may be for sale. If you had to make a guess about when the next atomic weapon will be used in anger by anybody, how long do you think that might be?
1.5 to 3 years or less. It could be as short as 2 months.
Oh, my God.
We have a very, very tiny window of opportunity here.
Could be as short as 2 months.
Yes.
And what would you imagine the target to be?
New
Tel Aviv?
Where I'm sitting at
New York.
New York City.
New York.
Yes. But they've named the targets.
Always
New York and
New York.
Washington are the two primary targets.